I honestly want him to just keep preaching. I love to hear him preach. And so what I'm going to tell you right now, I'm fixing to preach to you, and I'm going to be moving. We're going to move along. And because I know you were patient with me as I took my time in that first sermon. But I am going to move along. I'm not going to rush the Lord's word, but I am going to move along. We're going in a direction. And so you just bear with me. I'm hungry too, just so you know. I haven't had breakfast. I've had water and about that much soda this morning and two cups of coffee. So I'm as hungry as you are. But I have one last sermon to preach to conclude this meeting. And I think it sort of sums everything up. And so if you'll bear with me here, we'll get to it. If you'll take your Bibles and go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13. That's how you're so fast. I was wondering, I said, I'm pretty fast in the Bible, but you're outstanding. But Charlie, I mean, I say it and he's looking back up at me like, you're not there yet? So.
Technology's great.
Until it's not. Right. I've learned that through experience. Ezekiel chapter 13, we'll look at verses 1 through 5, and then we'll go to chapter 22, verses 30 through 31. Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, that prophesy and say, Thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." We go to chapter 22. Verse 30. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the Lord, for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed unto their heads, saith the Lord." I'd like to talk to you today and to conclude this series of this week, this meeting we've had, about standing in the gap. We started off talking about denying, then we moved into standing, and then we talked about fulfilling. There's many things that need to be fulfilled. But we must stand in the gap. We see here a merciful God, a long-suffering God. We see a sad and loving. We see the pity. We see the grace of God. I'm going to go to Jeremiah for just a moment. Chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. Verse 14 says, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I think about this. I think about what's going on in our world, and as Brother Sitters just described, there's something going on, something about. And I also think about the fact that Sheol, that's hell, is moving beneath feet. Did you know that? Did you know it does that? It does that. You can find that in Isaiah in chapter 14. But as it's moved beneath their feet to meet them at the act of their coming. There's danger around us, folks. There's great danger around us. And as our brother just said, it's about the difference of truth and lies. Truth and falsehood. And we got to understand that the last charge, the last hope of this nation is the home, but it's the church. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take the church off from out of this country, you want to see chaos. You want to see a third world country. You want to see some real despair. Take the church out. But you know how you take the church out? You take the church out by not living by the word, and the home's corrupted. You got to have a healthy home. I see all these children in here and these young folks, and I consider myself young, thank you, 50 years old. But we must live in the midst of truth. We must not just read it and say, yes, that's God's word, that's truth, I believe it. Great. What are you doing with it? We must be feeding upon it. We must be fed by it and digest it and let it grow us and help us. He set me up. He didn't know what I was preaching. These are the things we need. There's a charge to stand in the gap, to stand between the wrath of God and the people, the saints. Application is of this, looking for a man. Only those false prophets. The need for true men of God. Those not taking or forsaking the old paths. And we're in a time right now when people that knew, they know there's an old path. They know it. They've been taught it. They can see it. It's well traveled by the giants of old, as I mentioned earlier in the week. But they said, we will not take that path. That will not fill up the pews. That will not blend smoothly. That will not work. He mentioned something. This is not in a sermon. We're going at it this morning.
Preach, brother. Amen.
The brother that said that, he's went a different direction. And he has been ridiculed from our brethren. See, they fired the missiles this way. And that brother is held quiet. That brother's had a little bit of interaction for me, and he has respect for me, and I have respect for him. But I'm going to tell you, what he put on social media hurt me to the core. Because you can talk about me, but don't talk about my wife. I'll let you walk over me. Don't touch her. And by the comment that was made on there, it was against the Lord's true church. And I'm going to tell every man in here that's listening and who will listen to this, be careful how you treat another man's bride. And the bride of Christ is the Lord's true New Testament and then given the name Baptist Church. It's had many names down through the years. And today it is called Baptist. And we could go into that, why we believe this is a good name to have. It's all in the Bible. But there is a need for young men to step up. There's a need for young men to get into this word, and it just takes them over.
that when they wake up in the morning, they want to read it. When they're on their lunch break at work, they want to read it. When they go home after dinner, whatever they do, mow the yard, they want to get with their wife, or if they're single, they just want to get there and read it. So it prepares them for the next day of war. Did you know we're in spiritual war? You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, in the 80s, they had that popular saying, you know, well, I'll just take the old devil and just stomp on him and just smash him out like that. Well, that shows they don't know the word. The war is up here. It's a spiritual war. It's above our heads. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that. What's beneath your feet is hell. And it moves to meet thee at thy coming. You ain't smashing nothing out. The war's here. I remember me and Brother Joe were talking about the armor of God, and we feed off each other. There's some things I got that he didn't know, and there's things he had that I didn't know. And one thing that stands out to me, that when he says we wrestle not against principalities and powers, right? In fact, let's take a look at it. I want you folks to understand, you can't whip the devil on your own. And there is a price to losing to him. Brother Joe, did you put that AC on 50 now, or what is it?
Whew. Brother, can you pick that up?
It is chilly. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's methods. Methodia, methods. He has methods. He doesn't use the same one every time. See, the devil doesn't work in the black and white. He works in that gray area. In verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, and it says right there, in high places. And that word wrestle there, and we understand this because the Apostle Paul, being familiar with Rome, when you lose the wrestling match, your eyes are gouged out to walk in darkness the rest of your life. Did you know that? It wasn't WWE and WWF, you know, the world of fake and entertainment. These were real wrestling matches in the Roman times, and your eyes were removed when you lost the match. My friend, you will lose more than your eyes if you try to wrestle him by yourself. So that's why he tells you, get equipped. Get equipped. But we need men standing up and standing in the gap. So think about this. How strange is it that the Lord would need someone to stand in the gap when the fences are torn down? Think about that. Brother Joe wanted me to use this, and I don't know how to illustrate. I don't know how to make an invisible fence. So we could understand up here that there's a fence. So we see a fence, but there's a gap. So there's a need to fill the gap. But think about it like this. All the fences tore down, but he needs you to stand right there. Not over here, not over here, right there. That's where the Lord wants you to stand. He needs men to stand in the gap. It's a very, very important thing. We're in times that there's no smith. When I say that smith, just like the name smith, there's no smith to sharpen the mattocks. There's no smith to sharpen the mattocks or the axe tools or the forks. And if you're wondering what a mattock is, it's a pickaxe. It takes a special kind of sharpening tool to do that. And that's why the Philistines attacked and the Jews were whipped, because their instruments were blunt. Iron sharpeneth iron. We could go there, but for the sake of time, I'm moving on. But the fact is, they were not prepared. We must be prepared.
Look at Isaiah for a moment here. 58. Verse 11. It says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make thy soul, satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." The Lord uses men to stand in the gap. We're in a time we need to raise up the old foundations. You say, why is that? Listen, folks, we're in times when there's just, I can't pinpoint it, but I know who's at the helm of it. People want truth, but they're looking where to find it. And we need to raise up the old foundations. There's a reason that our brethren are jumping over and doing these other things. They're searching for something, and they think they found truth, but they're going to find they've been let out into a field that has no truth. We must stand in the gaps, in the gap. You think about this. You've heard me preach this week, and I've been a little hard, and I've been sensitive, and that's the way it goes. But not many will stand with me in the way I preach. Not many will stand, put up with the hard preaching. But as Brother Joe told you, the truth's the truth. And if I'm not willing to preach hard to you and give you the truth, then there's not much love coming across this pulpit. Think about this. We must raise up the old foundations. Timothy had to endure hardness as a good soldier. You'll find that. We'll go there in just a moment in 1 Timothy 6. But before I say that, I think about this. Before we read those texts, because I want you to know this before we read it. When one joins a church, you think about this, if this is not popular. People go looking for churches. I endure it all the time. People come. First-time visitors will come in. The Lord's blessed us with visitors. The first thing they want to know is, what do you have for the children? You say, well, the Bible. Yeah, but what else? What kind of do y'all have? What do you do for the children? We give them the truth. Yeah, that's all I'm talking about. Like, what functions and... And they're looking for bounce houses. We had one recently. His brother is a new member. We baptized and everything. It's wonderful to watch the Lord work in his life. He had long hair. I never said nothing to him about his hair. He's just sitting there enduring the preaching. I never preached on hair. He catches me coming forward. He says, "Pastor, does the Bible say anything about long hair on a man?" I said, "I'm glad you asked." And I just turned his Bible to it for him like that and let him read it. Started weeping. His wife, coming out of Greek Orthodox, she'd never heard the Bible. She's amazed at what's in the Bible. So he's excited what the Lord's doing in him and his wife. So he brings his little brother. His little brother sat there the whole time, paid attention, got up, left. Next week, I said, "You didn't bring your little brother?" He says, "No, he didn't like our church." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "There's nothing to do." Later on, I found out where he's going to church. I can understand why he feels that way. This guy going to a year-round carnival. No word taught. There's no truth given. Now, they preach Jesus Christ as Savior, but that's as far as it makes it. So praise the Lord that he's at least hearing that. But here's the thing. The sad thing is I saw there recently he's been baptized. And I thought, and it burdened my heart. He's been baptized by a church that does not have authority, that their whole focus is on entertainment, and he thinks he's really scripturally baptized, and that my heart hurts for him.
Because I could go to this pastor and say, what do you believe in John's baptism? He said, John's who? Well, John's baptism. You believe it's Christian baptism? Oh, no, that's Old Testament. He's an Old Testament prophet. John's baptism, is a baptism of, is that the scriptural baptism? Oh, no, that was a baptism of repentance. You know, there's preachers that walk around saying that.
Right.
They've never made it past John 3:16. They need to start at verse 27 and read the 36. They'll find out John preached the gospel.
That's right.
This is what I'm talking about. We need men to stand for truth. We need men to deliver truth. T.P. Simmons said this, the most unreasonable people are those who live by reason. That's pretty good. I like that. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Saying that, I tease with Brother Joe all the time. I look forward to the day, maybe the Lord will bless him. Maybe he won't. Maybe he doesn't let me have it because I get off in a bad way. You know, these just like that. The most unreasonable people are those who live by reason, T.P. Simmons. If you put quotes I have next to it, it wouldn't hold a light. I look forward to one day, maybe I'll have a quote. First Timothy 6:1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 5. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit, there's that deposit, thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The Lord is calling. And I believe that there's men. I believe there's men coming behind us, Brother Joe. If the Lord does not return, I believe there will be men called coming behind us that will stand for the truths we hold to about true church, about true baptism, about true everything in the we're, that we can stand there in front of you. And what we preach is right here. Look at it. There it is.
Right.
Do you know that's what amazed those people? I know I'm not a good orator. It wasn't my smoothness in the word. They were amazed at what I was preaching. They can read it. I hear it, I see it. I hear it, I see it. I hear it, I see it. They've never been in a place like that. You know how many people out there have never been in a place like this? See, we've been blessed. Many of us have been blessed. We were brought up in the good, true New Testament church.
Amen.
And we can't imagine what that's like. But it's real. And I get to see it through the eyes of those that come to our church down there in Florida. And they're like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me? Yeah. Whatever subject. It's all new to them. They found a gold mine.
Amen.
And that's what the Lord does with men. Men come and stand in the gap and say, it's false what you've heard. Here's the truth. This is real. I was preaching last week, 2 weeks ago, I think it was. I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not. It's been a week. But the fact is, I was preaching, and I was wound up as I am now, and I was preaching and preaching and preaching. And little Zane, he was sitting over there. He's about 4 years old. His mother just got back in church. And so the last time he was there, he was infant, you know, at the infant stage. Well, I'm preaching and preaching. And I made them stay in there. I said, don't go to the nursery. I got some things you need to hear. Well, I was preaching and preaching. All of a sudden, he leans over to his mom. He said, what's wrong with him? She said, what are you talking about? He's mad. She said, he's preaching. Just little four-year-old goes, he's losing it. She said, no, son, he's preaching. Unfortunately, we got adults that's never heard preaching.
That's true.
They've never heard anyone compassionate with zeal about the Word of God and how it is. It just opens life up to us and it gives us the truth whereby to live. There are churches that will please whatever you desire, even though God told them to do this, and you will have rest. They will meet your needs. We have to be careful that we're not any different. Oh, how we'd love to see this place packed out and them standing out in the hallway and out there in the parking lot. Wouldn't that be a blessing? It'd be like the days of old. And that can come, but it's not going to come if the truth's removed.
That's right.
You say, well, why are they so packed over there? You tell me why they're so packed over there. Tell me why rock stars do so good in life. Tell me why NFL players do so good in life. Tell me why. You know, I don't even have to go there. If you're willing to do what the world wants, you can profit in the world. But just remember, the book of James says your life is but a vapor.
Amen.
These are the truths we really need to understand. So, Elijah. Sometimes, Brother Joe, there's going to be weeks, Brother Joe's down and out. We've been on the high. We had a great meeting, and it may last for a week or two or whatever. And then all of a sudden, something's going to come, and Joe's going to be down under the juniper tree. I know I said Brother Pierce is my best friend, but I'm all alone in this, Lord. I know he will. You know how I know that? Because I do it. And you do it. And you do it. We all do it. Oh, I'm all on this, Lord. He says, oh, no, no. Get up. I've reserved 7,000 who have not bowed the knee. Mm-hmm. See, when I was preaching earlier, don't take me wrong on this. When I said, what do we do? Say, do you know Tulip? It doesn't mean that I don't believe the truth of election and the sovereignty of God and His choosing and His pleasing, and it's about His will. I mentioned earlier in the week, John 6, that He has to draw you unto Him. You're not just skipping along looking for the Lord. He draws you. I totally believe in the sovereignty of God. But we have a duty to do, and that is to share the gospel. Another way I was thinking of it, this is the sword, is it not? Where does it say to take the bat with you? Oh, bless God, you didn't know this. But I do find a lot of love in there. He needs men, real men. I understand how Elijah feels. Down there in Florida, I feel like I'm all alone. I have to go hour, half north, get up there to Brother Troy's church, or you got Brother Nate over there to my right. But there's a lot of churches in between us. The sad thing is, people's asked me over and over, is there any church down there in Naples? I'm looking for a church in Naples, Florida, anybody? And I've been asked that. I don't know of any. There's churches, and there's some that's probably close. Some that's probably pretty good. But, Brother Willard Piles passed on. That church is disbanded. That means something to me. My grandfather's one that was one of the main characters in organizing that church. That means something to me. I'm watching the giants of old, the old timers, fade out. And here we have a fence torn down and no one to stand in the gap. But the Lord will raise some up. Think about this in the preaching. Some of you may say, well, he is hard. He does get loud. He does get stern. Brother Joe is getting stern just introducing me. But we are to be fearless as a warrior, as a pastor. But we're to be as gentle as a nurse. Some of us have forgot how to be gentle as a nurse. A lot of us are good at being warriors. You think about this. Hordom was committed before Moses and the congregation. And Phinehas went out with the javelin. And the plague was stayed. 24,000 had already perished. Were it not for Phinehas, all would have died. But we forget Moses had prayed to the Lord.
we see it coupled together. The warrior and Moses' sweet prayers coupled together. You can find that in Numbers 25. So let me finish here. I had a lot. I'm skipping a lot. And I hope you don't mind that. I had a lot of verses. I had a lot more notes. But I also am very sensitive of the time. Let's consider this. It is not the sinner looking for one to stand in the gap, but it is God. So if you're hearing any of this, I want you to think about this. Do I believe all men are called into the ministry? Do I believe all men are God? All men are called of God to be in the pulpit? No, I do not. I believe it is a place of calling. I don't believe you can just choose to be a preacher. I don't believe you can just choose to do this or that. It's all by God's authority. As I said, you didn't just choose to be saved. But if he's doing this, don't turn your head away from it. I say that now. When God called me to preach, I ran from it for a while. Why I'm telling you don't turn your head away from it is because he's not going to let up. It's just going to increase.
That's right.
And it's going to increase to the point you're so unhappy, you have to turn around and say, Lord, I don't understand this. I know me. I know the real Tate Pierce. I know me. And just as clear as that, he says, I know you. And it hadn't changed his call. And he called. The Lord will have his way. And he needs men to stand in the gap. So much so, I could go to on and on. I had Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 4 wrote down. I had Isaiah 59 verse 13. I had Isaiah 59, 14 through 21. But let's just end it like this. Let's end it like this. There was a huge breach made. It started long ago. And God sent a man to stand in the gap. His name's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Big breach was made. But he sent a man to stand in the gap. What's that gap? It was the gap between you and God. And the only way you will come unto the Father is but by him, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He stands in the gap. He's the conduit. You think of this, though. Could you be that gap filler? The one connecting someone that we've never met to the Creator God of love? Could that be you? Could you be the one saying, come to the truth? God uses people to do his bidding, to do his work. And we must be conscious of that. We have too many fallen over. The breach has become pretty large. And we're losing good men in pulpits that used to stand and preach the truth. But it's not attractive. I'm going to tell you, this is not an attractive place for some. It's not easy to stand here before people and say, don't do this, do that. It's not easy. It's not easy when someone's been raised and steeped in something that is totally false to say you are totally wrong. It's not easy. It takes courage. A lot of courage. Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, and he went, and all the things had been laid upon him, he had been beaten. If you think about this, Jesus Christ, the God-man, spat upon, hit with the palms of their hands and the fist. Who had more courage? The one doing this? Or the one that took it? You in mind. like the old song there, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" I was there. If you've been born again, you're there.
You were there.
Perhaps some of you wasn't there. Is he making it real to you that you were there? Is he calling you? Thank the Lord that he filled the gap. And he filled it with his son, Jesus Christ. We need true men of God. We need true, solid, core, truth preachers and witnesses to fill the gap. So I pray this has been a help to you today. Tomorrow's going to come quickly. We're going to have some good fellowship here in a little bit. But you remember this. You've heard the truth. And what's going to happen now, because I have no doubt, I don't know who it'll be. Brother Joe, I know this is really going to surprise you. Brother Joe didn't fill me in on everybody that's going to be here, and this is their lifestyle, and this is what they do, and this is their situation, and this is where they are. He just asked me to come and preach. But I'm going to say, in a room in this size, there's a good chance next Sunday you won't be here. But you're going to be somewhere. And then all of a sudden, something's going to sound strange. It could be as simple as this. I say simple, as strange as this. Oh, yeah, you have to have faith in Jesus, but you also have to be baptized. Then you're saved. And they'll use Acts 2:38 to convince you of that. But the problem is they're not taking it in context. The truth, Jesus Christ will set you free. That baptism, that'd be an act on your part. It's by faith. Trusting and believing. Like the old hymn, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Will you stand in the gap? Perhaps there's some in here. I don't know. Could be from this age. Could be that one running around with the glasses on. I don't know. Could he be the next one that stands in the gap? That takes the hard position that all other churches running 500, 1,000, whatever they're running. Here's this remnant. And willing to say, I'm here because God's called me here. I'm doing it because this is what God called me to do, and I will not turn to that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not hard-hearted. I don't know who they are, but I know that truth rises to the top. When all that stuff settles, the truth will still be here.
Amen.
And we must uphold the truth. So I pray you'd consider that. Consider we must continue. But before we can continue, we must stand up. And if we'll do all these things, guess what will happen? Brother Joe's favorite word this week. Things will be fulfilled. So I pray you'd stand in the gap. Stand in the gap.